Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we hear about a documentary that examines the story of public education in Oklahoma from the perspective of a newly engaged citizen. Like many Oklahomans, local videographer Titus Jackson was fairly apathetic about state governance and how it funded public education. But as his children reached school age, and he witnessed firsthand the large classroom sizes and the inability of his school to provide needed services, he became interested. As he learned more, he became involved. An unrelated project with the Tulsa Classroom Teachers Association allowed him to ask questions about the state of Oklahoma classrooms, which then snowballed into a documentary project, which he titled Brokelahoma, which Jackson says was designed for people exactly like him, citizens who had been disengaged from government and education policy. In creating the documentary, Jackson wanted to hear from teachers directly about their frustrations and concerns. Brokelahoma premieres Monday evening at 7 o'clock at the Circle Cinema with a panel discussion to follow with both the filmmaker and some of the participants. He joins me today on Studio Tulsa. Titus Jackson, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Rich.
So tell us a little bit how this film came about. I know you're part of the filmmaking community and you've been involved as a cinematographer on a couple other projects. How did Brokelahoma come about?
Almost accidentally. It started off, God bless, back in around the summer of 2015. And this was around the same time that two of my children were enrolled in school and they were having some real difficulties. They're both on the autism spectrum, and so they need a lot more attention than the average student. My daughter was in a class that was just entirely too large for her. Okay, so that following summer, I was really stressing out about this stuff. I told my friend Matt about it, and he hit me up with this group that was needing to get a video made, a little promotional video. I'm a freelance videographer. That's how I make most of my living. And so I decided to go ahead and meet them. They're a little group called the Tulsa Classroom Teachers Association. They're a teachers union in town. And I went ahead and started speaking with them about making this video. And I told them after about an hour-long conversation, I'll make this video for you, but you guys are going to have to kind of answer my questions, because up until that point, I was very apathetic about voting, about everything in the state, really. But you'll find that when you have some kids who need help in school, that shakes you out of your apathy pretty freaking fast. So I started interviewing these teachers. After interviewing these teachers a little bit, I decided to get a little more involved, started helping out in the political process in my area. So I started supporting some candidates, started trying to help out with a state question for a teacher pay raise, stuff like that. And still at this point, I hadn't decided to make a documentary yet. I just had the footage, didn't know what I was doing with it. And then election day came, 2016, and all the candidates I had helped out completely lost. The state question I was supporting completely voted down.
And this is for the addition to the sales tax to support.
779, yeah. State question 779. And I knew at that point, because I've been talking to teachers so much, I knew that this was going to be kind of a turning point where we were going to see teacher flight increasing. And I was full of dread as a result of that. So it was around that time that I decided, okay, I'm going to go full on with this thing and try to make it into a full-length, feature-length documentary. Don't know exactly which way it's going to go yet. This is a film where I literally felt my way through the whole process. 3.5 years, just interviewing, feeling my way through the whole thing, and kind of, you know, learning what I was doing as I was going along.
It sounds like you made this journey from being fairly apathetic about education and state politics, for that matter, to becoming incredibly concerned and involved.
Yes, I was very apathetic about the whole situation. But then I found myself around these teachers who were just kind of beaten down by policy in a lot of ways. And so as a result of that, I started seeing what was happening. I saw the direct impact that was having on children. And as a result, the future of our state, my children's future, the state's future. And once I realized that and made those connections, it became fairly apparent that I need to really focus some of my time on this thing. So I've been working for the past 3.5 years, and whenever I had free time, you know, I get home, play with the kids, make dinner, get to work that night. That weekend, I shoot an interview, you know, whenever I have free time, and it's not encroaching upon anything else.
And it's interesting, as you say, this was a multi-year project, and you're there as things are coming to a head, the teacher walkout occurs,
you begin
to see the beginnings of this change in lawmakers in Oklahoma regarding education.
That's absolutely right. The timing, I don't think, could have been better, honestly. I realized I was kind of on the front seat to history for what was happening in the state. I hope this is a historic turning point. I really do. I hope that I hope that apathy doesn't encroach in. This is a big theme in my movie. As much as this is a love letter to educators and kind of an educational piece in general, it's a hate letter to apathy. It really is. Because I feel that that more than anything else is what can really be crushing our country right now, is people just not getting involved in the process and in what's happening around them. You cannot afford to be ignorant as to what's happening on the local level or the national level.
This is who you made this film for, the people who are apathetic or are just starting to begin to wake up about how education is treated in the state, how educators are treated, how public education operates in the state. So really, this is a primer film in a lot of ways.
You've nailed it on the head exactly. This film, more or less, is my educational journey that I went through. These are things that I learned as I went and advocated with teachers, as I went and sat and interviewed teachers. These are things that I started gleaning from them along the whole process. And yes, everything in here, I might as well be preaching to myself 3 or 4 years ago when you watch this film. I mean, literally, the end of this film is me talking to Titus Jackson, 2014, trying to shake me out of my apathy. That's basically what it is.
Oh, well, you wanted to hear from teachers directly. How many did you end up talking to in the course of the film?
Under 30? The number kind of escapes me because they all just ran together, and there's so many of them. There's some that I interviewed multiple times over that entire 3.5 year period. It started off with teachers, and then some of those teachers left town, and I think one or two of them got elected, and then I went ahead and interviewed some lawmakers when I was at the Capitol during the walkout. It just seemed convenient to go ahead and grab them and interview them. I even got somebody from the Oklahoma Policy Institute to talk to me and kind of give me some information there. I actually found a gentleman who helps superintendents with learning about the funding formula for education in the state. Because I thought it was really important that I give people kind of a basic knowledge as to how our schools are funded so that I can kind of show you where the inequality kind of slips in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so, God, that took forever. There was so many long, long phone conversations where I had to work just to get a basic, I felt so stupid around this guy, just to get a basic knowledge.
Well, I think this is one of the issues that causes apathy. The funding formulas are so difficult. You can't look at even just the state general revenue budget and determine how much money is going to education. There are so many sources, which your film points out, and most of them are deep in the weeds that it's pretty difficult for the average citizen to understand exactly how little or how much money is going into education.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I call it being cloaked in complexity. That's why I think people are kind of intimidated by trying to find out what's happening with funding. They're intimidated about trying to find out what's happening with legislation because it's almost written in this Klingon language when you read it. when you read a bill, it's written in such a way that I think it's almost meant to kind of confuse you a little bit because, well, this could mean this or it could mean that. What exactly does this mean? I think that's intentionally done. And so, yeah, but that's something that, sadly, they're not going to change that. We're going to have to kind of raise our game up a little bit to kind of understand what's happening there and put them to the fire to make sure that things are done properly.
As you mentioned, because this is sort of your own education, the film really tries to touch on a lot of issues surrounding public education, even from the very beginning of the film, which is starting with crime, punishment, health care, and incarceration rates.
Oh, yeah.
these vignettes that occur through the film. Describe that decision to put these vignettes in there because I thought it was interesting. At first, I was not sure. And I began to get it after the second or third one that you're just trying to.
Well, let's be straight. On most of my work, that's a very, very common response that people get. At first, they're like, what's going on with this guy? And then there's usually a turn. Oh, now I get it. That was very much by design because I'm not going to make something that I don't want to watch. Okay. And I am not a fan of the talking head documentary. I don't like it when films are just a bunch of talking heads. But then when I sat here and made a decision, oh, I'm going to make a documentary. What kind of footage do I have? Oh, I have a lot of talking heads. I have to make this something that's interesting in some way. So we made a very conscious decision that first off, I'm going to put some little pit stops throughout the film that are going to be kind of, they'll explain things, almost like an illustrated sermon, for lack of a better term. They're little vignettes that just kind of illustrate certain concepts that happen in there, but they're also humorous. They'll get some hearty guffaws out of the audience. And then we move on to some of the educational stuff, and then we throw a little, you know, some more of those little pit stops there in between. But as to the number of topics in the film, I did not want to keep this thing on any one topic for too long because I didn't want people to get bored. I was very scared to death of people being like me where they get bored. So I kept things 3 to 5 minutes per topic before kind of trying to segue on. And I think we did a pretty good job of being smooth with those segues in the film and stuff.
Yeah, but there's a lot to unpack within your hour and 40 minutes.
Most definitely is.
You mentioned the school funding equity questions, which you look at, you know, you're looking at the divide between poor and relatively rich districts, which doesn't make a whole lot of difference on certain things, but like on textbooks and facilities, it makes a huge, huge enormous difference to taxation issues, which you go into the whole history of House Bill 1017 and House State Question 640 was a reaction to that, to political tribalism. You know, that's just a big, big, large approach writ large around education.
Yeah. One of my hopes out of this thing is I don't want somebody to watch this thing and just think, oh my gosh, I have to learn everything about public education and what's affecting it right now. I want people to find just a topic or two that they can kind of focus in on. Okay, let me look into this and just kind of start digging in that and maybe kind of start gleaning things for themselves. I really want to kind of inspire the audience to kind of action for themselves and just start studying on some of these things on their own.
Yeah. My guest today is Titus Jackson. He's a local producer, director of Brokelahoma, and a local filmmaker. His new documentary, Brokelahoma, The Cautionary Tale of Public Education in Oklahoma, premieres Monday evening at 7 o'clock at the Circle Cinema. There'll be a panel discussion to follow, and he's my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, I'm thinking at some point as you move from this apathetic attitude to involved in education, teacher pay probably was your starting point. Was it your starting point?
That's a tough one. It was so all across the news. I don't think I could have been anywhere else at that time, honestly, because it was so pervasive in the news and such. Not to mention pretty much, every teacher I interviewed, maybe one or two, I might have forgotten to ask them, but every one of them spends their own money on their supplies without question. You go out there, go to school, throw a toothbrush, you're going to hit a teacher who's spending their own money on their own supplies without question, which just seemed insane to me. I mean, I'm not going to ask a police officer to buy his own bullets. that doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, you're a cop. You need to go buy your own bulletproof vest. You're going to go to that tough neighborhood. Too bad. Go get your own bulletproof vest. It just seems ridiculous to me. So these teachers buying their own school supplies they're making less than me. I'm a freelance videographer. It's very up and down for me. I'm sitting here talking to people who are making master's degrees that should not be making less money than me in any fair universe whatsoever. They're touching way more people's lives than I am. These teachers are touching a lot more people than me and making a lot less money. And it was insane.
You had one teacher talking on, he says, at one point early in my career, it's like if I needed to have colored paper to put up on my classroom walls, I could do that. It says now it's almost like an inquisition to get colored paper to put up as a backdrop for whatever he was going to put on his classroom walls. That just sounds crazy.
Yeah, that was Mr. Cherry. Yeah, and he was talking about how things degraded when he started in the early 2000s. It wasn't as difficult, but slowly as those cuts started creeping in, I mean, just something as simple as getting paper for your classroom and trying to do some field trips with your class and stuff, things that he knows are going to bring value to the lessons he's trying to teach these children are now things he's having to fight for. He's having to crowdfund money to try to get stuff to his classroom. It just seems insane to me when this is literally our future we're supposed to be investing in, and this is how we're kind of allowing things to happen. I don't think parents would let this happen if they really knew, if people weren't being apathetic about it. I don't think it would be happening.
Yeah. It's very telling that over the course of this 3 or 4 years that you're shooting, you're talking to teachers who by the time the film have come out are now former teachers.
Yes.
And I can't remember how many times in your graphics telling us who we're hearing from where it says former teacher. And at some point in the film you realize, oh, this is a teacher, but by now this person is now a former teacher.
Some of them just stopped entirely with teaching just as a whole. And some of them have just left the state and are making better pay just by crossing a state line. Dallas Cohen, one of my personal faves in the film, he gave me a lot of good zingers. Yeah, he's gone. Shelby, she's also gone. A lot of them just upped and left. And I can't really blame them when I saw the pay conditions were and such.
You had one teacher talking about how on a trip to see family in Texas, they were assaulted by billboards as they were leaving the state, directed towards teachers, saying, come to work here in this area of Texas and you'll make twice the money.
It was, yeah, she saw billboards, but she also was getting Facebook notifications.
Oh, Facebook's notifications.
She
right.
was getting Facebook notifications telling her about the pay raise she would be getting if she decided to move to that school district in her hometown. It was insane.
So there's a bit of that in the film, but to me, the most poignant parts of the film was the section which I call the doing more with less. And beyond the pay issue for educators, doing more with less seemed to be the most biggest issue that your teachers that you interviewed were talking about.
Most likely because that's when I identified with the most. I've, as a videographer, I do a lot of AV tech work as well. I work at the BOK Center and some other places. You're accustomed to clients kind of just telling you, okay, here's our budget, and they just give you a set job to do. Then a few days pass by, I need you to do this too. I need you to do this too. And you realize you're getting all this stuff kind of piled up onto your shoulders.
You said yes.
Yes, after you already agreed to do the job. And I that's probably what I identified with the most, because I see these teachers, they're doing this. But I mean, it's worse for them because you have legislators who don't even see these people face to face. People, you know, hundreds of miles away down in the Capitol who are making these laws, the bean counters who are making these rules for them to have to abide by. And those bean counters don't actually get to see the results of what's happening. They don't see how it affects the children. They don't see how it affects the teachers or the parents.
And, of course, what you hear from these teachers is at the same time money is being cut from education or being allowed to stagnate as it did for several years, which is the same as a cut because costs go up every
year. And
you've
got the population going up,
too. Yeah, exactly. They're seeing more school accountability, and I think I'd like to play a little clip from the film. This is from Dallas Cohen, who's talking about the third grade reading requirement that you have to reach proficiency at third grade or you're being held back.
Yeah, the Reading Sufficiency Act.
Yeah, let's hear this.
I think 8 years old is a little early to declare a kid stupid. We don't expect them to be a certain height by 8 years old. We don't expect them to be able to cook at a certain level, or, you know, there's a number of things that if they're worried about it, we'll say, sweetie, it just takes time. You just keep at it. You want to throw a bunch of tests at kids before they can graduate high school? We can debate that. I don't really like the types of tests, but okay, that makes a certain amount of sense. Third grade? You want to start busting a kid's chops at third grade? If it worked, even if it seemed cruel, then we could at least talk about it. Say, well, you know, it's like throwing them in the pond to learn to swim. If it worked, then we could at least have a discussion. It doesn't work. Statistically, you start holding the kid back in elementary school, statistically, that kid's chances of graduating and being on track do not improve, and sometimes they go down.
That's Dallas Cohen from the film Brokelahoma. And this was a common theme of issues like this where this was not education this was not really educators saying this. This is people outside of the profession saying this is a rule that has to be put in place. And this happens all the time in education, and you hear several examples in the film.
This happens across the country. Now, let me just preface this by saying that there are good legislators out there. I have a really good representative in my district, Ross Ford. He is fantastic. I love the guy. You know, we have a lot of good legislators. But with that being said, okay, there are a lot of people who are making the rules here that never taught in a classroom, never sat in a classroom. Okay, all they did was be a student 30, 40 years ago. And they have no understanding of what it's like, of the rigors, what it takes to be a teacher. I don't understand the rigors of what it is to be a teacher. I'm just a filmmaker with three kids, and I'm halfway decent with three kids, okay? Much less understanding what it's like to be in a classroom full of 28 students. And these guys, these folks in the Capitol are making rules for people that, they're never going to meet.
Most of the teachers that you interviewed in the film, from what I could see, seemed to be from the state's urban centers. But I know at least one teacher you interviewed came from a small town. Were there differences in the issues they face, say, in a rural setting or a small town as opposed to the urban districts?
God bless. They vary across the board. But the ones in the urban areas, I saw that they were dealing with a lot of foreign language students. They were having some issues along those lines. People in the ones I interviewed from the more rural areas and stuff didn't really have that issue, but they, of course, they had pay issues, and they still had the same issues, like class sizes and all that stuff as well. So it really didn't vary too much, honestly.
Let's hear from an educator from Shakota who tells a story that no child should ever have to face.
Yeah, it's very sad because there's no continuity. I mean, I was in a meeting the other day with a teacher who said a fourth grade class at her school has had five different teachers this year. Five different teachers. And at that age, you can't have five different teachers, okay? And so as a result, not only that, we've got some 2,000 alternatively certified teachers who don't have teaching experience, who think they can go into the classroom and actually teach.
I like to use the five stages of grief as how I'm feeling as with the state of education in Oklahoma. I'm still in like anger, which I think is my default like setting. Teachers are just beat down in the state of Oklahoma.
That's Lawrence Lane and teacher Shelby Egan, two of the teachers that are featured in the documentary film Broklahoma by my guest today, Titus Jackson.
I identified with that so much when he talked about it because I'm from Harlem, New York originally. And when I went to school there, there was one year where we went through four teachers. And, you know, it's like the first day of school again. You get a new teacher in here every 2 or 3 weeks. For the love of God, they don't know your name. They don't know anything about you. They don't know what your needs are. And I was a really quiet kid. I was a quiet kid that was picked on in school a lot. And the teachers kind of zero in on that and try to help you out and stuff. And I had to make that connection four times that year. It was god-awful for a fourth grader.
You get into the whole four-day school weeks. You get into the issues surrounding charters, emergency certifications. Even this year, we're still looking at, a huge number of emergency certifications, even though it's down from the previous year. This has fundamentally changed the teaching force, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. As John Waldron said, it's the canary in the coal mine. I really feel that kind of a linchpin for that was when State Question 779 got voted down. Now, it had its pluses, it had its minuses. But for me, what I was scared about when it got voted down was the optics of that, because that was the people of the state essentially saying, okay, no, you're denied a pay raise. And no matter how much you spun it, you know, you look at it from after that point and you saw how the certifications just went up after that.
And even in the bill that did pass, you heard that in the debate, that the people of Oklahoma had spoken, and you had some footage from the legislature where that was said on the floor.
Yes, that was absolutely said on the floor, and that's how they took it. And I feel that that kind of played a part into the momentum we had for the emergency certifications happening, for the people, the teacher flight. I think it's 30,000 teachers that have left now. And I try to address that in the film, what I think, because I don't think it's just giving them a pay raise that's going to start bringing them back. I really think that it's going to kind of take a fundamental shift in how we view and treat educators and education in society. I think we need to give them more respect. And I think we need to throw some more money, but not at them necessarily, some money that's going to filter into their classrooms. Because I think it's a huge issue that these teachers are having to spend their own money on basic supplies. That needs to stop happening, and they need to stop having to come after the parents for all this money as well. We need to figure something out in that situation.
Again, getting to the primer nature of this, the sort of conversion from the apathetic to the interested citizen, that's the focus of the film. You go all the way back to the 80s to talk about House Bill 1017, which you probably weren't even in the state at that time.
Actually, I moved here when I was 13 years old, okay. And the first year of school I was here is when House Bill 1017. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't hear about it then. I didn't care. All I knew was I think it was 2 weeks I got off of school.
Because of the teacher walkout
that happened. So I thought it was the greatest thing ever. All I know is my teachers came back. They were cheery. They were happy. Okay, I thought it was all great and all fine and dandy then.
So you go back to House Bill 1017 and House State Question 640 was a reaction to that. And, of course, as anybody who's followed state politics has known, this has been, you know, this incredible supermajority of having 75% affirmative voting to pass any tax increases. And how good bills have run into that for a long time in this state.
I was at a town hall meeting. I forgot who, I think it was Leslie Osborne. It was a town hall meeting in a church, and she was talking about State Question 640. And she was saying, now, when's the last time you could get three quarters of any group to agree on anything? You know, you can sit here, and she said something to the effect of having a, you know, trying to get people to agree on the, you know, what kind of carpet to get in their church and stuff. And she says, you're never going to get three quarters of a majority on anything. It's going to be very, very rare at that circumstance it's going to happen. That's why I put a little sketch in the film about that, actually.
Yeah. And, of course, you were there for the March for Education. This is happening. So you're, at this point, did you say, hey, I have a film here on my hands?
Yeah. At that point, I realized, oh my gosh, this is something. I'm sitting here at the Capitol, and there's all these drones flying around. I'm surrounded by thousands of people and stuff. And I realized at that point, my God, I've somehow this stuff all kind of came together, and I've got a film here that I think, you know, is a little piece of history, and that's what I'm happy about. So,
yeah. Well, I like the nature of the film. It's this teaching approach to this subject, you know, just your own conversion and trying to share it. I love when you address the audience at the end of the film. You say, you know, good education is a vaccine for society. And you put a challenge out to anybody who watches the film. Tell us a little bit about that challenge.
I'll put it to you this way. I remember I was working a job, and this was right around when my quote unquote come to Jesus moment was happening with this. And there was just some local election that had happened and stuff. And I came to work, and one of my coworkers had his little I voted pin on, and he looks over to me and said, who'd you vote for? I didn't vote for anybody. I didn't know there was an election happening at the time. Didn't even think about it. And that's when I realized, there's some things I probably should be thinking about with my children in this classroom like that. And so I wanted to kind of recreate that moment. Not as guilt-ridden, but I wanted to recreate that moment for the audience. So I thought it was imperative that I go through all this stuff. I'm showing you what's happening in the state. We're teaching you about all these things. I think it's important to show people, okay, you have this knowledge now. You need to know what to do with this knowledge. Okay, what do you have to do to start getting involved? And it's not like you're going to have to sit here and put in, you know, Uber hours every week to do this. It just takes, go look on a website. Go to look at a place like the Oklahoma Policy Institute, places like that. Just start educating yourself and getting involved in the process. Then you can really start helping to improve society. I hope that answered your question. I don't know. I might have went off on a rabbit trail there a little bit.
That's all right. Well, the name of the film is Broklahoma. It has its premiere Monday evening at the Circle Cinema. Titus, thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Titus Jackson is a local filmmaker and the producer and director of the new documentary Broklahoma, the cautionary tale of public education in Oklahoma, which has its premiere Monday evening at 7 o'clock at the Circle Cinema. There'll be a panel discussion with the filmmaker and some of the participants in the film to follow. For information on the showing, visit circlecinema.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent episodes or missed part of today's show, you can listen on demand anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. Just find Studio Tulsa and click on the show and listen. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.